Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Father, for another day of grace. We want to wish you a happy Father's Day. You're the greatest Father, majestic Father, awesome Father. Thank you for loving us, providing for us, blessing us with every spiritual blessing, totally undeserved. You're a wonderful Father. I pray your Holy Spirit will be the real teacher here today, Father, that you'll empower Steve and me from within by your Spirit, and that we would give the sense of what your scriptures are saying, and that you would just revive all of our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
You want to go out there to see if it works?
Just go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to do Amazing Grace. Can you hear me out there?
That's weird. Now
is that out there? Can you hear me out there? Can you?
Talk.
Amazing Grace.
Hey, it's off.
Can you turn that on?
Plug it back in.
Just go ahead and start on.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appears the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God for amazing grace.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Okay, Paul.
As always, what I always say when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, and open up the Word. And cell phones down, which I'm going to set an example. You know, it's kind of embarrassing if you ask everybody else to, all of a sudden your cell phone goes off, right? I want to wish everybody happy Father's Day. If you're not a father, you can rejoice that you had a father. And also, I want to say happy Father's Day to not only the male fathers, but single mothers that are raising their children alone, widows, and You know, maybe their husbands left them or whatever. And they do the work of father and a mother. So I just want to wish everyone happy Father's Day. And most of all, I want to wish our Heavenly Father a wonderful Father's Day. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And this is what the series I'm doing, if I think most of you know, on our spiritual blessings, and it's based on this verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And it's the perfect verse for Father's Day and us blessing God. Our Heavenly Father is so good to us. He's been so good. He continues to be good. And He's so worthy to be praised and adored. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be God. Do you tell Him that sometime? You know, grace should motivate us to want to bless God, to want to serve God, right? That's why I'm going through the series, because if we don't, you know, you can just read that and keep reading. That's reading the Bible. But you got to stop and ask questions. What are these spiritual blessings? And when you understand them, you dissect them. You know, you get all these the moment you trust in Christ. I mean, it's a beautiful package. Then as you study and you rightly divide the word and you study prayerfully, because the Holy Spirit is who teaches us. Not only we can read the Bible, even an unsaved person can read the Bible, but the Holy Spirit has to illumine our minds to be able to grasp some truths. And so as we dissect it, that present, it's like a Father's Day present. You know, my two stepsons, it was nice this morning, they got me a card from Barnes & Noble. You know, but sometime you get this present and there's a bunch of presents inside, you know, and you open up one, wow, and all of a sudden you keep digging, there's another and here's another, and that's what we're doing. And again, why I'm doing this is one thing, a lot of believers don't know what they have in Christ. They don't know their identity in Christ. You know, they think they got to perform to get God's acceptance, you know, and they're serving God a little bit selfishly to get, you know, you give to get, right? When you understand grace, that's our motivation to serve God, you know. So what we're going to deal with today is two of our spiritual blessings, if I get through it, is freedom from sin. That's our 20th one. And freedom from the power of darkness. Them are two wonderful, wonderful, powerful blessings. I want to read something by Warren Wiersbe that I had in my bookcase, and I think it's a very good statement. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. I repeat it. True ministry takes place when divine resources meets human needs through loving channels, the body of Christ, to the glory of God. I think that's a perfect definition of ministry. So let's go right away to Romans chapter 6, verse 6, and we're going to look at freedom. We have freedom from sin. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Now, you know, I used to go to a church and the pastor used to say, God has given us a total victory program in grace. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We have the resources of the Holy Spirit in us, right? But a lot of times we don't appropriate by faith what we have. That's where growth comes from, because nobody does it perfect. Even we think of the great Apostle Paul, right? Think what that dude went through for Christ. You know, his back was ripped open with them cat of nine tails 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was in he had contracts on his life from the Jews. They took vows they weren't going to eat till they killed Paul. He's in dangers in the sea, you know, his own people, and I call it the perils of Paul. Remember the perils of Pauline? It used to be a cartoon. Mighty Mouse, I think it was. He's our pattern, you know. So he explains to us what we have in grace. This is what motivated Paul. You know, it wasn't fear. I think the only thing that Paul really wanted, how would you say it? Not so much he was afraid, like God's going to get me, but he wanted to end his race with joy. Because some pastors, evangelists or whatever, they say they keep teaching grace, but they don't have the joy no more. They get sometimes beat up. You know, they're so busy serving. Sometime a Bible teacher or a pastor studies to minister to everybody else, and they forget to do their own personal studying, you know. So when we realize not only what we have, because I've kind of went over this at different times, and I always think, you know, sometime you look out there, and I'm not looking at anybody directing things. So that's why I'm looking at everybody. So nobody thinks I'm just, but it's like, he already taught on this. When I was a pastor, we had a church going about 2 years. So I taught through the book of Galatians, and one lady in the church, and mind this, like when you talk about our pastor, if we talk behind his back, it gets back to the pastor. Satan will make sure, and it discourages them. So one lady in the church says all he does is teach long grace, long grace. Well, that's the book of Galatians. It's about long grace, isn't it? You know, and that's not all I taught. You know, as you go verse by verse, like here, I jumped off in Ephesians to explain the spiritual blessings, you know, while we're there. So the thing is, what I would ask any person who's kind of, I heard this, have you been applying it? We got to ask ourselves that. Yeah, I know this stuff, but am I applying it? So sometime we got to be reminded, right? Don't we need our minds renewed? And preaching, what it does, I've heard, you study the doctrine on your own during the week. You're filling up your soul with it. When you come to church, it stirs that doctrine, and then I like how the pastor had put it, and it brings it to animation in your life. So I hope you'll listen carefully, because this is so important. When you struggle against sin, when you get temptation, if you don't apply this, you will fall in your walk, your Christian walk. Because I know. I didn't know this stuff before, and I was so defeated in my earlier Christian walk. And I still don't do this perfect either. You know, you don't see no halo up here. So Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing, you got to know something, right? That means you got to study it, right? Knowing this, that our old man, what is that? Who we were in Adam, right? Is crucified with him. Now, for context, go back to verse 3. Know ye not, that as many as us as were baptized, and that's identified or placed into, it has nothing to do with water, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. He died our death, right? He died in our place. And the moment we trusted that he did that for us, God identified him with us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, right? That what? We might become the righteousness of God in him. So who we are as new creations in Christ Jesus is totally righteous, your new nature. Because I know some people say, Well, no, that's our standing, our position. No, we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Our new nature is totally perfect, only wants to serve God. The problem is there's still an old nature, because that new man is housed in an old body still. And that's what is so the blessed about the rapture, getting a new body, you know. But we don't have to wait to have victory till then. If we'll apply these things, and that's where growth comes in. But what I want to ask you, when you come to church, you're doing studying on your own, are we just studying it to get knowledge? Or are we studying it so we can apply it? Because when you start applying it, what happens is we get holy habits. You do one thing, you do it over and over and over, what's it become? A habit, I call it holy habits, a healthy habit. And then pretty soon you're doing that without even thinking about it, you know, just like a bad habit, you know. So we died with Christ, we were buried, and we rose. Remember, I went through that on some of the spiritual blessings, if you were here for that. I got some water here. You know, preachers and Bible teachers, you only got a lot of hot air, so cool it off. Go back to verse 6. So knowing this, see, it's not something you feel. You know, there was this thing I reposted on Facebook today. This guy's like washing dishes, some star, and this lady's telling him how she feels the Holy Spirit. And he said, no, chills going down your spine ain't the Holy Spirit. See, God is spirit, and you must worship in him what? Spirit and truth. Spirit is not physical, right? So you're not feeling nothing now. Your spirit and your mind might respond with feelings and emotions, and we should, I think. Don't be led by them, you know. But grace should move us mentally, our will, and our emotions, you know. So when you get tempted, okay, this is a spiritual blessing. The cross broke the power of sin. All right. Say when somebody does something to you that hurts you, do you feel like forgiving them? I don't know about you. I feel like getting them back three times for it. See, everything in your flesh goes against that, and you want to get them back. But what does the Holy Spirit through Paul say? Forgive as you've been forgiven. So if I go by my feelings, I'm not going to do it, right? That's how Satan works. If it feels good, do it. God says do it, and the feelings will come later. You know, you apply it. That's what faith is. I step out on faith and apply that. So I forgive, and I feel a lot better after I forgive. You ever not forgive, and you feel this, starts eating you away, this bitterness and this hardness, you know, and you're like, this ain't worth it. I'd rather, you know, God, Father knows best, you know, for our lives. So Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. So in the Greek, that's was and is, continues to be. So we died who we were in Adam. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There's a lot here, and the King James, actually, I don't think the translators interpreted this the best, because that looks like, and there's grace teachers that teach, I've heard them, we don't have a sinful nature anymore. Oh, really? And you're supposed to be following Paul? When you go to Romans chapter 7, Paul says, what I don't want to do, I do. What I want to do, I don't do. It's no longer me. It's no longer who I am, my new man. But it's sin in me, the flesh. In my flesh, there's nothing good. See, so there's that old nature, and you have a new nature. So the old nature has what? Satan and the world at its disposal. Your new nature has who? Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. No match, right? If we'll appropriate by faith. Go to Hebrews 2:14, because what does the pastor say it? I've heard it before, you know, I heard it from him, but scripture interprets scripture, right? So if you want to know what words mean, a lot of time, go to other words. See, when to me, when you limit yourself to one translation, you're limiting your understanding. I like my mind's Greek to English dictionary, because I can look to see what that word means or how it can be used. So Hebrews 2:14. And it's the same word. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, this is talking about Christ, he also himself likewise took part in the same. He took on a body, though without sin. That through death he might destroy him who has the power of death. That is the devil. Now, is the devil gone? No. He's the prince of this world. But his power has been destroyed. So that's the idea here when Paul says in back to Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, or it can be interpreted, made inactive, ineffective, inoperative. And then let me give you a couple of the Amplified Bible really amplifies things. It says, in order that our body, which is an instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for sin. You see how, to me, now you can have your own opinion, you know, you can do whatever you want. I like to go to different translations and I get more of a well-rounded idea of what a word means. anyway, in the way, W-E-Y translation, in order that our sinful nature might be neutralized. See, so it's there, but its power has been broke. So how do you apply this now? How do you apply it when you struggle with sin, whatever it is? It could be pornography. It could be unforgiveness. It could be self-righteousness. You know, whatever is not God's will is sin, okay? when I get them thoughts, you got to realize that's not me. That's not you as a child of God, as the righteousness of God, right? So where's it coming from? The flesh or Satan that works through the flesh. If you know how to deal with your flesh, you'll know how to deal with Satan, because that's what he works through. So you realize, nope, I know where that thought's coming from, and that ain't me no more. Now, instead of me struggling with that sin, wearing myself down, being sin-focused and focused on my failures, what do? Thank you, Lord. I thank you for showing me who I am as your child. Thank you for making me the righteousness, your righteousness in Christ. And now I'm focused on God and I'm rejoicing and I'm not getting burnt out, you know, carrying the law around on my back. And so go to verse 19 to 14, because God tells us first, and Paul always does it. If you ever notice, Paul tells the believers who they are, then he'll correct their behavior. You're a child of God. You're not acting like it, you know. so Romans 6, verse 9 through 14. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and that he liveth unto God. So he died once, right? He's resurrected. We died with him, right? Who we were in Adam. We were buried. That means you never come back. You can never lose your salvation because you can never go back in Adam. And we rose with Christ. So in verse 11, he said, likewise, reckon, which means to calculate the facts, rely upon them facts, count upon them facts. So when you struggle with sin, I said, no, I'm dead to that. That's not me anymore. I don't have to give in and sin because its power has been broke. Praise God, I'm free. I'm free to serve, not free to sin. I can choose sin. See, but sin always brings destruction, don't it? Corruption. Yeah. I don't think any real Christian ever... Now, that sin nature only wants to sin. And it says it's corrupting. It gets worse and worse because it gets slick. See, after you get saved, it gets slick. It tries to come and sidewind and crack you still on you, you know. But here's God did everything for us through Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, for us to have victory, right? But here's where we appropriate, get a hold on that truth, and then the Holy Spirit makes it real in our life. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but what? Alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust thereof. Now here in the King James it said, neither yield. Okay, my old pastor Kirk would used to say, because this can be interpreted as present. Romans, it's the same word, I believe, in Romans 12:1. Present your body to God, a living sacrifice. Because yield has the idea, if you think of wrestling, or I like UFC and jiu-jitsu. You lock a dude's arm, you know, and he taps. He don't want to. He's doing it, he's forced. He's yielding, okay? Presenting is I want to. It's a whole different thing. Because your flesh, you don't got to yield to it. It just, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to do none if you don't resist. You know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the world. Well, if we're not in the Word, what's going to happen? We're going to start thinking like the world, right? We're going to be conformed to the world's way of thinking, you know. And we're going to start watching Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn, and, you know, God just want to heal you. He always heal you. He wants to make you rich. You know, that's how the world thinks, right? I'll be happy if I'm just rich. As long as you got your health and you're wealthy, I'm happy. How come rich people kill themselves if that makes you happy? What is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? You know, these spiritual blessings we have, we're rich. We're rich. They're God's riches, and he shares them with us. We're joint heirs with Christ, and everything, what he has, he shares with us. All by grace. So cool. So wonderful. So I'll say both. Neither yield or don't present yourself. Your members, that's members of your body, the parts of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield, and I really think here it's present. Present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Why? Because you rose with Christ. You are alive from the dead. When we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God made us alive. You're alive. You're rich spiritually. You're blessed. We got a lot to be rejoicing for today. Amen?
Amen.
And you know how many Christians don't know what they got? Because they don't rightly divide the word. They don't understand Paul's apostleship, unique apostleship. They don't understand God made him the steward, the one responsible to dispense his instructions under grace, our promises under grace. And you know, and they're just struggling. Sincere sisters and brothers beat up week by week. God's going to get you. Motivation of fear. Here, you're getting beat up by grace. You're getting loved in the service. You know what I'm saying? That's grace. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Now here, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because the power of the cross broke it. And the only way it's going to be manifested in your life, that freedom, is what? Because ye are not under law, but under grace. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. And I think I'm only going to get in one of these spiritual. That's okay. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Now here's in a nutshell Romans 6. See, that's why one book in Scripture builds upon another. You know, Romans is the foundation of grace, right? You got to get justification down. Just got to get that down as a new believer. Then what happens? It builds and builds till we're coming to Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 2 Timothy. You learn to rightly divide the word. Ephesians chapter 3, we learn about the mystery, right? So here's how, again, Paul's giving little nuggets of application. Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, and that idea in my New King James is conduct. Put off your former conduct, if you want to say conversation. But today we think a conversation is what? Talking, having a conversation with somebody. Put it off, the old man, which is corrupt. See, is corrupt. Our flesh don't get no better. And other places it talks about is corrupting. According to deceitful lust. See what it does? It's very deceitful. If you don't know this word, if you don't rightly divide it, your flesh will deceive you and Satan will deceive you. I guarantee you. But when you know the word, what Jesus say, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Like next week, we're going to look at because I'm going to preach I'm going to teach in the morning, and I'm going to preach. So I'll get at least two or three spiritual blessings. And we're going to deal with freedom from the power of darkness. So freedom from Satan. Because he wants us to be like afraid of him. You know that? He wants you to think he's got more power over you than he does. It's a little preview for you. Whet your appetite. Christ broke his power. Just like the cross broke the power of sin. Yeah. We're equipped. And when you have your mind renewed like that, you know, say if you're in a jail cell, right? And somebody comes and says, hey, somebody bonded you out, opens the door. And if you stand there saying, I don't believe it, I'm staying here. That's crazy, right? Wouldn't it? Man, I'd run out of that jail cell. I've been in jail for 5 days. They said I didn't go to court when I was a teenager. I was 18, I think. I did go to court, but until my lawyer came, it took 5 days. And when they said, you can go, Mr. Ballback, I was gone. Jail, or if you're in bondage, it's a terrible thing. So why would we want to stay in bondage when we don't have to, right? We're freed. But you got to apply. You got to get up off your seat. Start moving your feet. You got to reckon these things to be so. See, it don't make it so because you reckon it. It is so. God said you die with Christ. You were buried. You rose. Is that something you feel? No. It's spiritual. But it's a truth. It's a reality. And we live by what? Faith, not by sight. So by faith, when you get tempted by the sin nature, and remember, Satan's going to work through your sin nature, you don't have to fall for his deception, his methods, his lies. When you're going through something and Satan whispers in your ear, if God loved you, he wouldn't let you go through that. You know, when I was in that hospital bed in pain for the months, I appreciate them prayers for so many people. and some were able to come and see me. We appreciate that. But I didn't sit there whining. I was sharing. I was redeeming that time. Because I could have sat there whining, feeling so sorry for myself, and Sabe wouldn't have loved it. We got him, finally got this big mouth shut up. Because he likes telling people about grace. I said, I'm redeeming the time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I asked him to heal me, and I know he could. I said, God, but I know you ain't promising the dispensation of grace that we're guaranteed healing. I know at the rapture, yeah, I'm guaranteed healing. But I know sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. So I pray your will be done. But I would appreciate it. But when I got out of that hospital and then 2 months in the wound care and rehab, I went outside and I thank God for not healing me, because God used Mary and me as we went through that hard time. It was hard for Mary. You know, see, sometimes it's harder almost for the spouse. I was going through the pain, but her helplessness, I can't do anything. Well, I can try and do what I can do, but I can't take away. It's like a husband waiting for the baby to come, and the wife squeezing his hand, and her eyeballs are popping out. I remember when my son, I started crying because I couldn't take away her pain. I would have if I could have, you know. But Satan is going to attack you, especially when you're down, like when you're sick or you're going through financial problems, and he hits you. But if you know this word, you pick up that two-edged sword, you put up the shield of faith, right? Quench them fiery darts, Mary calls them doubting darts. But we have to do that. God's equipped us. So, let's see, where am I at? Yeah, Ephesians 4:22-24. So we put off the former conversation that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And what? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What's going to renew your mind? The word of God, right? Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in Colossians, Paul writes, right? And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created, listen to this, in righteousness and true holiness. Now, are you totally righteous and holy? Or is that just your standing? That's who you are. Now, our walk doesn't always match that, does it? But that's because we're not applying what God has supplied. You know, and also, God ain't in a hurry. You know that? He would rather take a couple years with you on something and truly have change than have some fast thing that you didn't even grow in. He takes his time with us. You got areas in your life that you don't want to tell anybody about? I do. You know? My wife knows pretty much, you know, me, and because she lives with me. But God is, what he began in us, he's going to finish, isn't he? And when you look at this, that last verse, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, how do you put it on? Realize who you are. You walk in that truth. And you know where it says, work out your salvation? Did it say work for? Anybody awake? Did it say work for your salvation or work out your salvation? Not here. You know where Paul says in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? It's realizing and awe, God's working in me. It is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He works within our will. You see, what he began in you, he's going to finish. And he takes his time. What does that teach us? To be patient with other people. Let them grow. Ah. All right. Next week, I'll get you back. My wife laughing at me about patience. I'm not the most patient person. I remember when I was housebreaking my dog and she was taking the puppy a while. I was like, God, give me patience. So she's a puppy, and he did. See, when we depend on him, that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Go to Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Paul says, lie not to one another, seeing, listen to this, ye have, that's already happened, right? Put off the old man with his deeds. When did that happen? At the cross. You died to who you were in Adam, right? And have put on, what's that? The resurrection. You rose with Christ, right? And have put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge. You see how you need to study, but you got to depend on the Holy Spirit to illumine your mind? Renewed in knowledge, what? After the image of him that created him. So see, it's knowing who you are. Now, when you're talking about putting on clothes, what is that? Outwardly, right? See, God works inwardly, but then he wants us to throw them old rags that came with Adam and let it, what's true inwardly, be made manifested outwardly. Put on the new clothes. See, it's application. And then I'll go to one more place. Go to Galatians 5:18. And I'll be wrapping up. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. So is the Holy Spirit ever leading us under the law? Is he ever leading us under any performance-based system? That's what you call legalism. No, right? So get yourself under law, what will happen? You'll be under sin's dominion, right? The sin nature will dominate you. But go up to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. What is he? The Spirit of, he is the Spirit of truth, right? Walk in truth. Walk in dependence on Christ in you by his Holy Spirit and in your daily walk. Walk in the Spirit, and what happens? You shall not fulfill lust of flesh. So when you're walking under grace, you're not walking under law, you're just going to supernaturally, I was going to say naturally, but it's actually supernatural. You know, our Pentecostal friends and brothers and sisters or charismatics, they want to talk about supernatural things and power. Man, that's power. Walking in the power, under the influence, under grace of the Holy Spirit. Loving your enemies, reaching out to the lost, edifying the saved, loving the unlovable. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this freedom under grace. You know, we get accused a lot, just like Paul did, teaching people that they can just go sin because they're not under law, they're under grace. And anyone who understands grace, Father, understands your word, knows your grace doesn't teach us to sin. It frees us from the sin nature. It teaches us to say no to unrighteousness and live upright and godly. It teaches us to be zealous for good works. And Father, we just praise you today. We worship you. We just want to tell you, you're worthy, Father. You're worthy of our worship. Why you'd want anything to do with us? It blows my mind. We fail you every day, but you don't see us as failures. You see us as your righteousness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, you can use us. And I pray, Father, if there's one here, I don't care if they've been in church all their lives, if they've never trusted in your Son, they're as lost as somebody you on Skid Row. Or someone listening to the CD, I pray they'd recognize in Adam all their righteousness, anything, all their human goodness is as filthy rags to you, dirty, filthy rags. Yet, they would trust that Christ died for sinners. We were born that way and can't change that. And they would trust he died personally for them and that he rose from the dead, that they could be justified, declared righteous in you, Father. You would declare them righteous and give them a righteous new nature. And then, Father, for us believers, give us a heart for the lost, Lord. Your heart, your love. Let us see them the way you see them. Not to be judgmental, but to love them and share the gospel with them. And for believers who don't understand the mystery that was given to Paul, don't understand how to rightly divide your word, that you would fill our hearts with love for them and patience to allow them to grasp it. We didn't understand it all in one day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.